Welcome to the For the Church podcast, another great gospel-centered resource from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Jared Wilson. I'm an assistant professor of pastoral ministry and author in residence at Midwestern Seminary. And I'm here as always with my friend and my colleague and my co-host, Ross Ferguson. How are you, brother?
We're back at 7 a.m.
You know, it was a somewhat shocking or jarring leaving the house. Is dark.
Yes.
And when I got to campus, it's dark. So it's like you're arriving at night.
Well, I arrived on campus. I have a key card to get into the building, and then I have a key to get into the room we're in. But security were walking around. They do their rounds. And they just walked out of the Spurgeon Library. The podcasting room is just off Spurgeon Library. So they had just walked out. And I said, oh, hold the door. I'm just going in there. And they held the door and I walked in. And then as I was opening the next door to get into the podcast room, I just saw one of them like take three steps back and look into the door. And it dawned on me, they don't have a clue who I am. And they've just let me in to one of like the most prestigious rooms in the whole building.
Let me in. Hold the door. Let me in.
And there was definitely a doubt in his face of, is he meant to be here? I mean, no one's here at 7 a.m. apart from security. But I think I may have caused him some angst this morning.
Well, I think so too. And I had my own little, not run in, but peek in. I got here, got into my office probably about 6:30 or so, and they were making their rounds. And I could hear them coming because they turned the light thing on when they come down the hallway. And one of them like peeked around the corner to look in my office because the light in my office was on. And I could just see his head kind of poke around the corner. I don't know what he thought was going to be in the office. Some guy rifling through my drawers or something.
We should point out to listeners, do you recognize that, listeners? The entire of Midwestern Seminary is still in bed. But me and Jared are here working for the sake of the Lord.
That's right. We are up and early. And, you know, related to that note, perhaps, getting a good start, getting going, starting off on the right foot.
Okay, so good transition to start the year with.
It's the New Year's episode. Yeah. How do you normally feel about the New Year coming? Do you have a regimen? Do you have do you make resolutions? Do you sort of have a mission statement for the year or anything like that?
Would it surprise you that I'm usually just a little bit miserable?
Okay.
No, I'm not really.
Not really?
No. So historically, in the UK, when we lived in the UK, in Scotland, New Year's Eve is called Hogmanay. And it's like a big, yep.
Okay. Hogmanay.
It's called Hogmanay.
Okay.
And it's usually a big party. Everyone celebrates Scottish dancing. We eat food, all that sort of stuff. So New Year's Eve would be our version, I guess, of Thanksgiving in terms of its significance, in terms of people's input into it and involvement into it. So it's fairly big. So New Year's Day specifically is usually very tiring because you've stayed up the whole night.
Oh, right.
But in terms of starting the new year, I really enjoy the thought of starting afresh. So I am somebody that generally tries to finish off all his to-do lists by the end of the year so he can start new to-do lists in the new year. I generally have new tasks to do, new projects I want to be involved in, new aims, new goals. I'm not a fan of resolutions generally. I'm more of a fan of just what would I like to achieve this year?
Yeah.
What would I like to do?
Okay.
And those things are not usually massive, just what would I like to do this year? And I usually, by the end of the year, like to review and give myself a grade, you know, how have I done this year?
You're a big fan of grades. You like scores.
I like scores.
Yeah.
I like to win.
What's that all about? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that what it's about? It's a competitive thing?
Yeah. Well, I'm a big believer in like achieving things. I don't really like just sitting doing nothing. Nothing to do with works-based salvation, more just I like to achieve things.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you? What's the attitude to the start of the new year?
Well, I always like the idea of like, all right, I'm going to start something. It's going to be new. It's going to be different. I'm going to be a different,
I don't know.
New year, new me kind of thing.
Does that ever work out for you?
Well, it has kind of in the past, not in the more recent past, I suppose, but I have done it before. This year I have a different tack. So I'm trying to get the back on the good habits, physical fitness and everything, back as a rhythm in my life before.
Okay.
So because what happened last year, well, because you see me all the time. Last year, I lost all that weight. And then once the November fall hit, and between the busyness of ministry travel and, school stuff, and of course, holidays, I'm taking time off, et cetera. and just all the food and everything, I probably put more than half of that back on over the holidays. So this year I'm like, no, I'm not going to falter during the holidays. So I've had one cheat day, which was Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But even Thanksgiving week, which I had, you know, the whole week off, I'm like, I'm eating good. I'm working out. I'm just – so I'm trying to gear up to where it's not even, you know, any different. New Year's Day is not like, oh, I'm going to start on a Monday, you know, or whatever it is. Yeah. I've already started. So – and I feel real good. I don't know if it's even – you know, when when my alarm went off at 5:30 this morning, I felt awake and rested. It was weird. Like I never feel that way.
I did not. Okay.
Well, you're drinking. What are you drinking?
Clear American Sweetened Cherry Limeade.
Oh, okay, so that's sugar-free.
Sugar-free.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, all right. Okay. So, I was gonna say, if you're drinking like a sugary soda at 6:30 in the morning, that would do it.
This year, I'm kind of going for less about kind of weight, but more just sustainability of just. Yeah. All the things we do. We've talked before in the podcast. I do a lot. I'm somebody that throws a lot in my calendar. This last semester, kind of the kind of August through to December, there was definitely a couple of moments where I was not feeling my best. I took to napping. And surprisingly, I was napping like 2 hours every day and then sleeping 10 hours every night. And it was that my body had just kind of got to the point, you're done.
Yeah.
So this year I said to Miriam, I'm gonna make things just a little bit lighter for us. I'm not gonna do as much. Problem with that is I haven't actually done that. So what I've done is I've like booked out in the coming semester, I think it's 15, 16 weekends. And I think we're already booked out 8 weekends for different things. Yeah. So it's already started again.
It snowballs.
It's so fast. You just say yes to a few things and boom, there you go. No calendar space.
Yeah.
So.
I've had to say no to a few things in the last few weeks, you know, for the spring, looking at my calendar going, okay, I've got already 2 weekends booked out of that month. And so I have 2 weekends free, but you know what I mean? That's an opportunity to say no, not to just fill them up, but to say, no, I'd like to keep those free. And there's a, you know, part of me that has this, I guess it's a fear of man. Like, I don't want to disappoint anyone. I don't want to say, you know, because they find out that I have it free. They're like, oh, man, you had a weekend free. Why didn't you say yes to it? You know, it's like, because I want to keep that weekend free. And, you know, so I'm really facing that, you know, issue a lot. And I've had to say no. So that's, I think that's something else that going into the new year. I'd love to have a less busy fall than I did this year.
I was about to say, you said that last year about 24 and it was just as busy.
This year was actually, I think, less busy than the previous year, if only because I was traveling a lot in the, you know, during the week, but not on weekends as much.
Hang on. In November, how many days did you spend in KC? Because I remember 23, you saying something like, I'm here for 3 days in November or something.
Yeah. It was like 6 weeks straight. That I had something the year before.
And
this
24.
Year was like October into the first week of November, I think I had something.
Okay, so not 6 weeks, but 4 weeks. Okay, I did better.
Well, you know, what it is like, so preaching more at Liberty has kept me here on the weekends more.
Yeah.
So I think maybe I delude myself that I'm doing better. It's just the travel has moved to weekdays instead of week. You know, the thing that's been difficult for me in the past is I think, oh, I'm going to start this in the new year. I'm going to do a different thing. I'm going to, you know, what have you. And because the new year is still like in the middle of the holidays, you know what I mean? Like this, you know, school year doesn't start till January 20th and all, you know, all these sorts of things.
Not this year.
No? When does it start?
January 13th.
Oh, that's right. I'm thinking of the doctoral class I'm teaching starts on the 20th.
How that half lives.
Well, yesterday I was doing some planning. But okay, so anyway, January 13th. So it's still kind of like the holidays. They're still kind of like taking things off. And then as you said, you have New Year's Eve or maybe you're out late or you're up late, you know, celebrating and then
sluggish start.
And then January 1st comes and you're tired. You're, you know, it's like, oh, all right, I'll start on the 2nd, you know, and then by that, you know, I'll start on the Monday, the first Monday after January.
Why don't just start in February? It's just easier.
Let the whole month just be
thinking about generally New Year. Every time you come to a new year, there's always a guilt trip about something. Do you know, last year wasn't as good. I need to do better this year. And it has this tinge of guilt running through it. I just refuse to do that. I'm just like, okay, last year wasn't great. This year will be better, and I'll start when I want to start.
Yeah. Any big plans for the new year? Things, you know, aspirations, things you want to accomplish, so, things you want to achieve?
Things I want to achieve. Yeah, so yeah. I actually have a few different things that are on my mind. And one is also going to be a shameless plug to our listeners as well. So one of the things that I like to do at the beginning of every new year is set out a set of books or a set of articles or even dissertations that I want to read and to take time over. I do loads of reading for the semester, loads of reading for preaching, and I feel like those are quick readings. Like you've got to get it done for something.
Yeah.
I feel like you need something to read where you just pick up and do a few pages at a time. It'll probably take you the whole year to read. I don't know if you have a book that you tend to do that with, but
I may in the coming year, but go ahead.
Okay. You're just still thinking through it. You know, it's January 1st. Yeah. I feel guilty. But here this year, through a company called 10 of Those, we actually had the CEO, who is now called actually the president of 10 of Those, Jonathan Carswell. He was on the podcast last year. He runs 10 of Those. They have produced or I guess republished J.C. Ryle's thoughts, expository thoughts on the Gospels, which is a 7-book volume. J.C. Ryle being a 19th century preacher in England, big proponent of gospel ministry even in the 19th century. They have produced this 7-book volume of J.C. Ryle's expository thoughts. And I may have used my sway to get a copy.
Mine came in last week or a couple weeks ago.
Sway also got Jared a copy of this box set.
Yeah.
Mine arrived a week or two ago and I started reading it. Really enjoying it. The reason I really enjoy it already is because it's really simple. Right at the beginning, he's very clear. This is not meant to be the deepest theological thoughts on everything that's possibly in the Gospels. He's very clear of, I'll give some verses, about 8 to 12 verses, and then I'll give some thoughts. And the thoughts are just really kind of gentle and point you to what is generally happening in the passage. So it's really easy to just pick up and read. Like the first day it arrived, I read 25 pages, just really easy to read. Now, if the listeners are thinking, hey, that sounds really good, J.C. Ryle, preacher, I want to know his thoughts on the gospel. Well, you too can know the thoughts on J.C. Ryle's thoughts on the gospel. It's normally $140, which I think for 7 books is not actually that bad. $20 a book.
Well, it's a nice set.
It's a really nice set.
Yeah, it's a hardback. It looks nice on the shelf.
It's a really nice set.
Yeah.
Now, on their website right now, it is $99. Again, I've used my sway, and I've got our listeners a discount. So if you listen to the FTC, I just love saving money. If you listen to the FTC podcast, we can get you the J.C. Ryle box set, 7 books, for $65, which means it is less than $10 a book for the J.C. Ryle expository thoughts. If you want to make use of that, you can just go to 10ofthose.com and type in J.C. Ryle, Ryle spell R-Y-L-E, J.C. Ryle into their search bar, and it will come up as the box set there. And we have a special code for you when you go to the checkout. Just type in FTC Ryle, FTC Ryle, and you will get a $65 box set.
Wow.
And that's going to be my achievement. Okay. I'm hoping for this year's to read the entire box set. So maybe our listeners can join me in that aim for the year.
No, it's good. And it does look really nice. That didn't sound like ad copy at all. That sounded real natural.
Well, real natural.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to rereading probably, I don't know, for the fourth time maybe, The Lord of the Rings. It's been it's been years, probably over 10 years.
Do you know I've never read it?
Oh, my word. You need to do that.
My daughter's reading it.
Yeah, yeah. You need to dig in. We rewatched the movies every couple of years probably and did this year. And there was a scene in Return of the King that sent me into the book to use in a sermon. Mm. And as I was reading, I thought, I need to get back into these books. I need to revisit. Because there's so much in the books that's lost in the movies and there's so much richness there. Speaking of reading, Liberty Baptist Church is going to be undergoing a new initiative where we're reading all together using the Navigators Bible reading plan through a year, which is a new thing for us, not Bible reading, but everybody, you know, reading through the same plan. I'm kind of excited about that. Yeah. And, you know, what are some things we can do with that? Can we you know, use that on Sunday mornings, bring things up? Can we point people to that? Can we, throughout the week, maybe even
do you know what would
on
be good?
Social media, do some little touch-ins?
Podcast.
Oh, that would be good.
A weekly podcast on that
week.
We
might
reading.
Have to do it. I don't know if the guys on staff have the bandwidth for it.
But. We have the voices. Like, at the end of the day, we have the voices. I mean, imagine that. You've got scripture and our voices put together. I actually did for
talk
six.
Talk to 10 of those. You got that sway.
Oh,
we need
I got
to record
that
an audio Bible.
Sway. I don't know about that. Mainly because I can't say most of the words properly.
You get the Hogmanay. Audio Bible with Ross Ferguson.
Do you know I don't say my name as Ross?
What do you say?
Ross.
Okay. Like it's got one S.
One S.
Ross.
This is great.
Well,
podcast.
It's like trying to be dramatic. You know, you draw it out. It's like a presentation. It's like, here's Johnny, you know, like the Johnny Carson show.
Okay.
Are you familiar with that at all?
No.
Whoa. All right. Generation.
I'm not American.
I know, but Johnny Carson was a worldwide phenomenon. You're not familiar with the Johnny Carson show.
Okay. No. Right. The other thing I'm thinking about doing this year is for ministry wise, I've stayed relatively local to Missouri. And Missouri is where we live in here in the States now. But this year I'm doing more traveling. All so right. I have a conference in Missouri and we're doing one in Iowa together. Mm-hmm.
We may be doing a live podcast there. Maybe.
Yes, maybe if we have the tech. And when I say if we have the tech and I can use it, because there's no way Jai is going to be setting up.
No, even if I knew how, I'm not doing it.
I'm going down to Texas as well for a student ministry conference. And then I just got an email in that a church was thinking about asking me to come and do the conference in West Virginia.
Nice.
So, and I've never been to West Virginia.
Okay.
So
I've never been to West Virginia.
There you go. I got there first.
Yeah. No, you did. Yeah.
And then we just found out friends of ours moved to Philly and we have never been that way. And they were like, you should come out. So maybe this summer, maybe we might take a road trip out to Philly.
Wow. So a road trip. That's a long,
road trip. Yeah. Well, you see, if you do the road trip, you get all the states. So we've covered 22 states because we've driven through them. And the rule is you've got to be able to step out your car step out into the environment.
You have to stand on the ground.
You've got to stand on the ground and airports don't count. So,
okay. There's some interesting rules.
It's all about achievement.
Okay. I see. We're going on two cruises.
Yeah, I forgot you were into the book.
Or this year. Which is really strange because we've been on two cruises in our entire life, separated by 20-something years. We went in 2000. This is before our first daughter was even born. Actually, Becky was pregnant with our firstborn, Macy, but we didn't know that. So it was very early in the pregnancy. And we went with her whole family on a Disney cruise, and had a good time, but, you know, it was fine. And then 20-some years later, we all went, whole big family, with her family again on another cruise. And, you know, both times we kind of went like, I wonder what this would be like if it was just the two of us. We didn't have to like everyone's whole—
Just get rid of the
whole
people.
Everyone's whole agenda. Well, I mean, when you're with a whole big group, like you're trying to do things that are like, are just what the whole group wants or, you know.
And I forgot you don't like spending time around people.
I don't. You know, even family. No, we just thought if it's just the two of us, we can do our own thing, have our own agenda. Where would we like to go? And so we decided that we're going to do a Hawaiian cruise for our anniversary.
Wow.
And we originally decided that we were going to do it for our 30th anniversary, which is in 2026. And the more we started talking about it, Becky actually said one day, why wait to the 30th? Why don't we do it on, you know, the year of our 29th anniversary? And I was like, well, I mean, I guess we could do that. And she goes, because who knows what might happen?
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, oh, like, you know, assassinate me or something. I don't understand. It sounded very ominous. I was like, am I going to die before the 30th? You know, but I thought, okay, all right. So the 29th, we're going to do for our 29th anniversary, we're going to do a Hawaiian cruise. And so we had that all booked.
Yeah.
And then actually through her sister, who's a travel agent, you know, booked everything for us. And then 2 weeks later.
I was about to say, I think I know what your second cruise is.
Yeah. Like 2 weeks later, I get this email from the Family Life folks who do the, you know, Weekend to Remembers and marriage, all those, you know, Love Like You Mean It, those sorts of things. And asking if we would come on the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise and speak. So I have a speaking engagement on a cruise in February. And, you know, Beck's surprised when I walked in the kitchen and was like, what if we do two cruises next year? She's like, you're out of your mind. I was like, no, one's actually the speaking engagement. Yeah. So I've got two cruises. I don't know. Maybe I'll be a cruise person before I.
I love it that you're doing Love Like You Mean It. And the reason you're doing your first cruise is because you don't want to be around other people.
Hey, I love my wife. Sure. Acted like, it's not a solo cruise.
But what you're doing here is you're peaking too early, though, because you've got two cruises on your 29th, which means on the 30th, you have to do something insane, like buy a state or something.
Well, no, but on the 30th, I'll just be glad to be alive, apparently. Yeah. I'll just be grateful. When the anniversary comes, I'm like, I made it, man. I don't know if it was a bad omen or what.
If we get to that, we'll get to our 30th wedding anniversary when I turn 48.
Okay.
So, because we got married at 18.
There you go.
So
yeah. I'm looking forward also, theoretically, to graduating with my doctorate.
Let's see.
Look, man, I'm on track. I can get it done. It's just my first reader who shall remain nameless. He's one of my colleagues here, but when it comes to being my first reader, he's not a colleague at all. He's a taskmaster. And he's a little more, shall we say, pessimistic about
your
possibility of me graduating in the spring. But
well, I need you to graduate because I'm graduating in the spring.
Oh,
and then
are you?
We can both graduate in the same graduation.
I mean, in terms of writing, I can get it done. In terms of whether it's acceptable and et cetera, we shall see. So if it's not in the spring, it will definitely be in the fall. But
it's going to be in the spring.
In the spring.
And like the whole 3 years I've lived here, like, it's going to be next semester. Yeah, some point, you just have to do it.
Well, this is why it would be cool, because there's another milestone for this year, 2025. Yeah. It will be 10 years since coming to Midwestern Seminary. I started working here in March of 2015. So I'll hit my 10th anniversary of employment. And so it'd be a great milestone, especially in spring. Like I came in the spring, so to get my doctorate in the spring, like what a thing. Because when I originally came, I thought, I'm just going to come here and get my kids sort of graduated, and then we'll figure out where the next ministry assignment is. And now I'm like, man, this was the next ministry assignment. I didn't know. So, you know, getting my doctorate was just not on the horizon.
You're setting yourself up for big achievements here, Jared. Yeah. And
well, now we should maybe take a spiritual application turn, because one of the things that happens inevitably, apart from people giving you a hard time, you know, like my buddy across the table here, for not reaching your goals, the Lord is more sympathetic, isn't he? He sympathizes with our weaknesses. And
use that as an excuse not to do your dissertation.
I'm working on it this month. This pressure, this nagging is not helping me out. You know, the Lord never nags. It is his kindness,
but co-host
Romans chapter 2 says, that leads us to repentance. Yeah, so my spiritual exhortation for those of you, especially if you're listening to this on January 1st, you may be exhausted from the holidays and from last night even perhaps, or just staring down the barrel of, oh man, I'm already, you know, starting on the wrong foot and how am I going to get going? Trust that the Lord loves you no matter which resolutions you don't achieve. No matter which aspirations you're not able to accomplish, he loves you because of what Christ has done for you. And trust that the Holy Spirit has indwelled you and empowered you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, to even pursue the spiritual disciplines. This is what I think is just the beauty of the Christian life, what Jerry Bridges calls the bookends of the Christian life. On the front end, we have the Holy Spirit empowering us to obey, empowering us to pursue holiness. And on the back end, I mean, at all times, but on the back end, we have the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. So when we fail, we know that we are not condemned, that in Christ there is no condemnation. So certainly as you enter the new year, aspirations, achievements, ambitions, resolutions, all of that, those are all good things, but Christ is a better thing.
Yeah, I was thinking of Psalm 98:2. The Lord has made his victory known. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. I think this year, remember that Christ is victorious, that is not something we have to be confused about. And you don't have to be victorious in every single thing of your life this year for Christ to be victorious. He is victorious. It's a done deal, which means this year you can walk knowing every single day as a believer in Christ, you are victorious through him. So you might not do the weight loss program. You might not get the books read. You might not even get your dissertation written, but
that, I am going to.
That does not change what Christ has done. And I think if we camp out there for the year, we're going to have a great year. We're going to have a phenomenal year, irrespective of what we achieve, because the greatest thing that has been achieved is that we are saved through Christ Jesus. What else do we really need?
Yeah.
I feel like that's like,
is that it?
That's it. That's it. That's it.
No, that was the wrong.
No,
that wasn't either. Okay. Where's the applause?
I don't know where the applause is. Oh, there it is.
There it is.
There it is. Also,
Happy New Year! Happy New Year, everybody.
We also said before we started this podcast, Jared said to me, right, I know I say this every single time, but we need to finish sometime between 20 and 25 minutes an episode. And it's currently just about to clock over to 26 minutes.
Because you dragged it out. We could have said it was 25 minutes and 40 some seconds.
I just wanted us to fail straight away out of the beginning of the year.
Oh, and then get
it out of the way, because Christ has conquered. We don't have to conquer.
Amen. Happy New Year, everybody. If you enjoy the podcast, please give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And until next time, may Jesus be big in your church. You've been listening to the For the Church podcast, hosted by Jared Wilson, found online at ftc.co. This resource is brought to you by Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri, where we train leaders for the church.